Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Tonight, live on Sterling on Sunday, we're going to review how a man attracted the most powerful woman on earth to meet his brother. And the results are unbelievable. Plus, a headline you will not believe coming up in seconds. First, live on Sunday night, the most important thing you and I can share, weather with Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The Sugar Daddy Shootout in Long Island. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I just finished a performance at a comedy club. I'm a mentalist.
He can read everybody's mind but his wife's.
We'll talk about it tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardized
another self-checkout thief, and it was me. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Now, I want you to imagine you've decided to date the most powerful woman in the world. For years, I used to say that Paul McCartney was the most powerful person in the world. Why? Because any man would take his phone call. Any woman would sleep with him. He had all the money he could ever want. No one ever says anything bad about him. He did work that moved ahead the culture of the world. And he did work that he loved. And apparently his children adore him. And that's why I thought he was the most powerful person in the world. But now Taylor Swift is the most powerful person in the world for the same reasons, except the part about the kids. Any guy would sleep with her. Anybody, any CEO, president of any country, chairman of any board would take her phone call immediately. She does work that she loves. She advances our culture. She contributes positively to the world. And now she's dating Travis Kelce, who won today. You know, if you didn't hear, the Kansas City Chiefs won today against Buffalo. That's all I know about sports, that and the fact that I really wish I'd been born as Trevor Lawrence. But, gee, Trevor, come on. All right. Now, you have persuaded Taylor freaking Swift to go out with you. You've persuaded her to go out with you. And now, for the first time ever, she's about to meet your brother. She's about to meet his brother, who's also a football player. Here's the headline about meeting Travis Swift's, Travis Kelce's, that's what it's going to be, believe me, Travis Kelce's brother. You ready? Beer swilling Jason Kelce strips off after brother Travis scores touchdown and gives girlfriend Taylor a heart-shaped signal. Imagine you finally meet the brother and you're there with the mom and you're in the exclusive clubhouse box at the Kansas City Chiefs game or wherever it was. Where was it? In Buffalo? It was in Buffalo. Or was it in Kansas City? I don't care. Now Taylor, a billionaire, a powerful woman beyond anything that the NFL could ever generate on its own, is now meeting with the brother. For the first time ever, meeting the brother. And I have to get this headline exactly right because I can't do it justice if I fake one word. Beer-swilling Jason Kelce strips off after brother Travis scores touchdown and gives girlfriend Taylor a heart signal. And there is beer-swilling Jason in the clubhouse box without a shirt on. Travis Kelce scored his first touchdown in 8 games for the Kansas City Chiefs, and brother Jason celebrated by ripping his shirt off in the stands. Oh, he wasn't even in the clubhouse. He wasn't in the clubhouse. The brother wasn't in the clubhouse. And brother Jason celebrated by ripping his shirt off in the stands. I'm sure after seeing a display like that, this pig taking off his shirt in the stands. Now, if he's in the clubhouse, which I think he is, that's worse. But if he's outside in 20-degree weather, then he's just stupid like a football player. Can you imagine Taylor taking this in and thinking, any man in the world would date me? Any man in the world would date me and many women. And I am with a family that has beer-swilling Jason Kelce strips off after brother Travis scores touchdown and gives girlfriend Taylor a heart signal. Can you imagine? Now she's going home. And there's her very distinguished, successful father who also witnessed the shirt incident. Forget that they won. Forget that the Kansas City Chiefs won. The shirt incident is what is blaring in her brain right now. And now she has to be cool about it. She has to say to Travis, oh, that was really funny when your brother took off his shirt and exposed himself to the entire clubhouse and the stands in 20-degree weather. What a classy guy. I feel so proud to be part of this family. Can you imagine the script she's going to have to come up with to say, oh, I thought it was really funny. That was great. I'm in show business. I understand eccentric behavior. Oh, my God. But she's dying inside because she grew up a preppy in the suburbs of Philadelphia on a Christmas tree farm in New Jersey. And to wealth. Her father's a wealthy guy. And this is where her career has led her, to a brother who would take off his shirt while swilling beer in a stand at a championship football game. That's how he's going to welcome Taylor Swift to the family. But there's more. Here's my favorite headline of the day. I've been going through all these very important news, all this stuff. What do I talk about? How do I make it a great show? How do we get the PPM meters to go do 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 do? How do we do that? Referring to nothing. Zayn Malik says he's doing fine after seemingly getting his foot run over by a car while leaving Kenzo show during Paris Fashion Week. Now, that's quite a headline. Let's review. Zayn Malik says he's doing fine after seemingly getting his foot run over by a car while leaving Kenzo show during Paris Fashion Week. Where's the decision tree in getting that story into any publication, much less a headline, much less a pretty long story in the publication about nothing? Zayn Malik says he's doing fine after seemingly getting his foot run over by a car while leaving Kenzo's show during Paris Fashion Week. Now, most of us don't know what a Kenzo show is. It's a fashion show, obviously. But nothing happened after seemingly getting his foot run over. Seemingly getting his foot run over by a car. It's live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else like it. Thank God. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Amy Robach.
I have chosen love in my life, and I'm very excited about that path. I'm living my truth. There has been a price to pay, but I'm excited about the future.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
What's your name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin? Hi,
yeah.
I'm Lara.
I love your tattoo.
Thank you. I love you.
Wait, what am I doing?
Oh, yeah. There we go. Oh. Oh my God, you're so cute. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. I will text you.
Please, have a good day.
You too. Bye.
The CBS Radio Workshop. Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. It's exciting to be with you. Why did it do that? You see, it's very dangerous for me to run the board because things like that happen. But imagine you're Taylor Swift and you're at the Kansas City Chiefs game to watch your boyfriend, Travis Kelce, and his drunken brother shows up, beer-swilling brother, and to celebrate a touchdown by his brother, the brother takes off his shirt near Taylor Swift. That's what she's dreaming of, to join a family like that. Remember, not too long ago, Taylor dated Connor Kennedy, Robert Kennedy's son, in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, in the Kennedy compound. There she was with Connor Kennedy at the Kennedy compound. And there they were making out on the beach, having a summer fling. And now she's with Travis Kelce's brother, who's taken off his shirt while swilling beer. This weather, oh my gosh, this weather. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to a real Alaskan, Keith Fons, who's going to explain to us how to deal with this cold, because in Alaska right now, they're laughing at the lower 48. They think this is a big joke. You think that's cold? Let me tell you what's cold. And then they're going to tell some moose jokes. That's how it goes in Alaska. But the best way to deal with this weather is to get out of the country. And that's what you and I are going to do in October. You and I are going to go to the land of sunshine. Baked beaches, topless women, casinos, the most beautiful vineyards and flower gardens in the world. We're going to go to the French Riviera. You and I are going to go to the French Riviera. I have talked about the French Riviera for many years on Sterling on Sunday. I have told you how much I loved it. I told you how I knelt in the Mediterranean and asked my wife to marry me right off the coast of Monaco. I've told you all of this, and it's my favorite place in the world. And Colette Travel, a premium travel service, has said, well, we'll put together a small group vacation for you, a small group vacation, a batch vacation for you, and invite your listeners. Midnight Misfits will make a special vacation just for Midnight Misfits. And that's what Colette Travel has done. We're going to go to the French Riviera for 9 days and nine nights in October, and I really want you to join me. For years, I have tried to figure out how to meet you. And at first, I came up with what I thought was a good idea, which was to go to Waffle House. We'll all meet at a Waffle House in Painesville, Ohio. And then it turns out that Waffle House is technically very difficult to do a network radio show from because they don't have Wi-Fi. No, really. They don't have Wi-Fi at the Waffle House because they're geniuses. They don't want us hanging around, like at a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. They don't want us hanging around. They want us to buy stuff and go. Makes sense. But Colette Travel said, well, we'll put together a small group vacation for you and a select group of listeners, and we'll do it in October, and we'll go to the French Riviera. We're going to go to the French Riviera, where right now it's probably about 80 degrees right now, and it'll be about 70 to 80 degrees in October, and it'll be magnificent. We will stay in Nice in one hotel. I said, well, if you're going to put together a small group vacation, I'm not moving hotels, because that's no vacation for me to move into a hotel and check out. No, one hotel for 9 days. We'll really get to know each other and be comfortable, and that'll be in Nice. We'll go to Cannes, Saint-Tropez, Monaco, all the places that live in our minds of great beauty and great romance. The time that I was there, it's better than I imagined. That's the best thing I can tell you. Whatever you imagine the south of France, the French Riviera is like, it's better than you imagine. We will see incredible acres and acres of French flowers. We'll go to a perfumery and learn how they make French perfume. We will go to a French vineyard, not some cheese ball vineyard. We'll go to, you know, in Australia or something. We'll go to a French vineyard where they really know how to make wine, and we'll see how they make wine in France, and we will taste it. And then, oh my gosh, there in Monaco is the Casino of Monte Carlo, the James Bond Casino. And we will enjoy that all. The air of the French Riviera is rich. It smells wealthy. It smells like we can't afford to breathe on the French Riviera. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. There's a picture of the French Riviera right on top of the homepage. Click on it and sign up and get the information. You don't have to commit. Just get the information. Then on February 1st, we're all going to participate in a Zoom call with Colette Travel, and they'll answer every question you've got. Mitchell Mack will answer every question you've got about the trip to the French Riviera on a Zoom call on February 1st, but you got to sign up to get the link. I will be on that call to keep you from panicking. And you're thinking, it must be very expensive, very expensive. In my experience, it's cheaper than a week at the Jersey Shore, and it's less expensive than a trip to Miami, and less expensive to Santa Monica. It's a magnificent trip, and it's been on your bucket list your whole life. It's time to experience it with me and my wife, Katie. Join us. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. Click on the picture of the French Riviera and sign up. Get the information or send me an email, and I will personally mail it to you just like I did for John in Illinois. Send me an email to waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Include your real mailing address, and then I will personally stamp the envelope and personally write you a note and invite you to join us. I'll send you a magnificent brochure that Colette Travel has put together. It's really pretty impressive. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live radio show. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends. It's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. Yes, it's true. Travis Kelce's brother, to greet Taylor Swift and welcome her to the family, tore off his shirt in front of her and swizzled beer. I can't top it. Dr. Dave and the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The Sugar Daddy Shootout in Long Island. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I just finished a performance at a comedy club. I'm a mentalist.
He can read everybody's mind but his wife's.
We'll talk about it tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
Another self-checkout thief. And it was me. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
We always kiss and hug and talk about the day ahead before getting up. And that's one of my favorite parts of our morning.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Now, the first time you introduced a significant other, whether it's your bride, husband, or lover, to your family, did you dread a relative being like Travis Kelce's brother? Travis Kelce's brother, in front of Taylor Swift, decides to tear off his shirt because his brother scored a touchdown like a real man, and swizzle beer. What a classy guy. What a classy family our Taylor is getting involved with. Are all the Swifties starting to raise an eyebrow and say, maybe this isn't the best idea, this whole NFL football thing? Because Travis Kelce's brother tore off his shirt when his brother got a touchdown at the Kansas City game, which they won, and swizzled beer in front of Taylor. Has this reminded you of any embarrassing thing that may have happened when you introduced a lover, a significant other, to your family? Has your family ever acted out in a way where you went, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, how did this happen? Many years ago, my mother and father belonged to an exclusive club, an exclusive golf club, one of those clubs that, quote, nobody gets into. That was the criteria for membership, nobody gets into. And my biggest client, back when I was a consultant, I wore a suit, white shirt, rep tie, wingtip shoes. My biggest client said, I'd really like to get into that club. How do I get into that club? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm very important. My father belongs to that club. I bet you. And I said, they said, well, what do we have to do? I said, well, you have to start by having dinner with my parents. Okay. I have always been proud of my parents. I had never not been proud to introduce my parents to somebody. My father and mother picked themselves up from the bootstraps of Jersey City and Irvington, New Jersey, and built an incredible life for us and for themselves. And I was always very grateful for that. I never hesitated to introduce my parents to anybody. So we go with my very proper boss and his very proper wife, whose name was Judith, not Judy. That's what my boss said to me. All right, Walter, you're going to meet Judith, not Judy. And that was the important message that he had for me. I'm like, okay, so we go to dinner with Judith and my boss and my parents at this exclusive club that my boss wanted to be a member of and that maybe my parents would sponsor them and help them get in. And something happened that never happened to me before and frankly never happened after. We're sitting there in this fancy country club, and there's my mother and my father and my boss and his wife, Judith. And my mother got bombed. It's the only way I can say it. She got bombed. She was drunk. And she said stupid drunk things in front of my boss, who did not know her or my father. And I kept thinking, what does my contract say? What does my contract say? Oh, it was a no-cut contract. Like I had to be convicted of a crime, convicted of a felony for them to get out of that contract. But it was horrible. And halfway through the dinner, my boss leaned over and whispered to me and said, what do we have to do to get into the club? I said, you have to get through dinner. And it was just, I was mortified. I could not have been more embarrassed. How about you? When you took your significant other, your fiancé, your brand new boyfriend, your brand new girlfriend, when you took them home for the first time to meet your family, did your family do anything that just was terrifying, just mortifying to you? Because if I'm Travis Kelce and my brother, in front of everybody with photographs in every newspaper in the world, tore off his shirt in front of Taylor Swift and swizzled beer, I'd be like, oh my gosh. And Taylor, please, Taylor, view this as a sign. This is an NFL family. The NFL has the highest crime rate of any organization in the world, I think, allegedly. And oh my God. Oh, what a disaster. Here's my number. Call me. 888-688-WALT. You thought of something when you brought home a significant other, a fiance, whatever it is. Somebody in your family did something that may have ruined the relationship. And I want to know what that is. You get to voice it, get it off your chest anonymously. That's the joy of Sterling on Sunday. A live radio show, 44 past the hour. My number is 888-688-9258. You got it? 888-688-WALT. Call me now. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I'm being a good girl for you.
Aww. Good girls. I think you're a bad girl, though.
No, I'm a good girl.
Do you guys think Abby is a good girl or a bad girl?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
It's anonymous. Did your family do anything really embarrassing like Travis Kelce's brother did in front of Taylor Swift? Travis Kelce's brother in front of Taylor Swift tore off his shirt to celebrate a touchdown like a real man and swizzled beer in front of Taylor Swift, a preppy from the suburbs of Philadelphia who grew up on a Christmas tree farm and grossed $1 billion this year. The most powerful woman on earth. I know. Come and meet my brother. Maybe this is why it took him 7-8 months to introduce Taylor to his brother. You realize that this weekend was the first time that Travis Kelce introduced Taylor to his brother. And there he is, either in the stands of this game or in the clubhouse of this game, tearing off his shirt to celebrate a touchdown. So either he's stupid because it's 20-degree weather, or he's just a pig because he was in a clubhouse, and he swizzled beer. Boy, what a great way to impress Taylor Swift. Hi, meet my family. Here's my brother swizzling beer and tearing off his shirt over a touchdown. Did you ever take your significant other, somebody you cared about, home, and a member of your family mortified you, did just something so mortifying, it's painful to even mention it and think about it, but that's what we're here for. It's a live radio show. That's what I'm here for you to share this pain. My phone number is 888-688-9258. The show is much better when you call in, because if you don't call, I'm going to do Motown Monday. There's the threat. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Embarrassing things your family has done in front of your significant other, preferably on the first meeting. All right, this is a live radio show. I am Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. There's Keith Fons. Now, Keith is a very big deal in North Pole, Alaska. That's really what it's called, North Pole, Alaska, because it is the home of Santa's workshop, which is magnificent and huge. And I'm waiting for the fudge, Keith. And the reindeer live there. Everything you imagine Santa's workshop looks like really does. I've seen the pictures now. It's incredible. But most of North America, most of the lower 48 is freezing. 8 degrees. But Keith Fonz, he laughs at us in Fairbanks, Alaska. He laughs at us. So, Keith, what's your weather? And please give us some PSA-type tips on how to deal with the cold.
Well, right now it's negative 22 degrees, and we have a severe weather alert where the next few days we're going to be getting down in the negative 40s, negative 50s. And, you know, when you live in cold temperatures like this, pretty much anything after or colder than negative 20 is the same. It's just cold. It's miserable. And you just spend, you know, you just dress appropriate. Like, I wear like two layers, like down below, and then up top I could wear up to 4 or 5 layers. But then if you look at my kids that's been here half their life, they'll go out in negative 20, negative 30 degree weather, and you can barely even get a coat on them.
Now, Keith Fonz in Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska, what we've learned from ice road truckers is that it's so cold that they cannot turn off their engines. Is this true, or is that a myth?
Well, here, you know, when it gets negative 20 or colder, most people have auto start to where their car will start over every 4 hours for like 15 minutes. You also plug in your cars here. Like, you have a heating pad on your oil pan, your transmission, your battery, then you have a triple charger on your battery to sit there and charge your battery all night. And if your car is not equipped for this weather, after negative 20, your car will freeze up, and it will take days, if not weeks, to get your car warm enough to even turn over. There's nights that we get negative 40. I don't want to take a chance. I just leave my car running all night.
Now, I have heard about plugging in your car, but I'd never heard about auto charger before. What's that again? What happens there? It starts the car every 3 or 4 hours automatically?
Well, you can set it up like that, or on your remote or on your fob, you have a button installed and you just push it in and it starts your car automatically, and it'll run for 15 minutes before it turns off. Here, pretty much 90% of the people have auto start on their cars.
What kind of oil do you put in these cars? How do you specify the oil?
Depending on the temperature, you know, it can range. Like, for me and my little tiny Chevy Cruze that I drive, I put anywhere from 5W-20 to 5W-30, depending on how cold it is. You might want it a little bit thinner.
Ironically, that Chevy Cruze of yours was built about 20 miles from my home. Now, one of the big problems in the lower 48 is that the idiots who bought electric vehicles, regrettably, the chargers don't work. Now it's so cold that the vehicle chargers, the charging stations, don't work. Have you heard about that? Is that a story in Alaska?
We have heard about it because Tesla decided to come up here, I would say in the middle of December, and they tested out their brand new trucks that they have because they wanted to test it in cold weather. But back in December, we were like 20 degrees, 15 degrees above. We weren't in the negatives yet, so we all kind of joked about, yeah, why don't you bring those vehicles over here when it's negative 40? Guarantee it ain't going to work.
And it didn't. And what's amazing is they tested it in Alaska. They probably had tests that showed, gee, it isn't really going to work, but they didn't share that information in the lower 48. Isn't that amazing, Keith Fonz?
It is, but if you think about it, you know, 80% of the lower 48 never sees temperatures that you get and I get, and probably 99% of the lower 48 doesn't see temperatures that we do here in Alaska. And if they really wanted to test it, they should be up here right now when we are seeing these negative 40s, you know, because we see it every year.
Keith Fonz, if a listener wants to get in touch with you for expert advice on how to deal with actual weather, how do they get in touch with you, Keith Fonz?
They can get a hold of me on Facebook at Keith R. Fonz, or I'm on TikTok at North Pole Alaska 420.
And the best thing about Keith Fonz, F-O-N-S, is that he looks like a real Alaskan. Whatever you imagine an Alaskan looks like, that's what Keith looks like. Keith, you're a good friend. You're a good friend of the show. Thanks for the social media postings, and I appreciate your friendship, and I look forward to the fudge, Keith. All right, good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. We're enjoying ourselves. We're having a great night. We're warm inside the cab of the 18-wheeler and the 4-wheeler. And this is one of those nights where it's great to be in the car with the perfect heater. You got the temperature just right. We're looking ahead, and what's fun on the big interstates is to look to either side into the woods, and we see one light over there by a trailer park or a little house in the woods, and you just imagine it's a whole world there, and they're in splendid isolation. Because since you and I are introverts, we love isolation. We thrive on isolation. We get stronger from isolation, don't we? Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to find out about the secrets of Las Vegas, Sterling, on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons.
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
There's nothing more important to you and me than accurate weather, and that's why we have a real meteorologist, Dr. Dave Eisen.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
The Sugar Daddy Shootout
in Long Island. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I just finished a performance at a comedy club. I'm a mentalist.
He can read everybody's mind but his wife's.
We'll talk about it tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Another self-checkout thief, and it was me. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
So I can, like, take you out.
Shut up, really?
Yeah.
Please do.
Yes.
You want to go to Postino's or something?
I love Postino's. Board and bottle on Monday and Tuesday. So we could go tonight or tomorrow. Wait, I'm so down. What's your number? Sorry, what's your name?
Ashley.
Ashley, cool. I will text you.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Long Island City in Queens. Famous for a wonderful strip club featuring Latinas who love to let themselves shake away. And yeah, it's called Sugar Daddy's. And Sugar Daddy's Gentlemen's Club is an amazing thing. So this happened, of course, after midnight. And there was finally an arrest. This happened in October, not arrest till this last week. Jeffrey Almanzar, most wanted, 29, Sunset Park. Two groups of guys get into an argument outside the club. It happens. Young men, testosterone, and, of course, cheap liquor. Leads them to the point of losing their temper over absolutely nothing. So Jeffrey pulled out a gun. He started shooting. He wasn't a tremendous shot, though, but he did get some guy in the leg. This guy, obviously, is sort of the Barney Fife of strip club fighters. Can't hit the broadside of a barn. The victim hit in the leg. He made a full recovery. But Jeffrey Almanzar, he is being hit up with attempted murder and also gun charges. And in New York, you could be in jail for decades over that. Couple of rules here, gang. Nothing good happens after midnight, even at Sugar Daddy's Gentleman's Club in Long Island City, which I highly recommend. I always have the Courvoisier when I visit. It's awesome. And also realize this, at your Exotic Dancing Emporiums, because there seems to be a lot of crime there, they're recording you. There are cameras everywhere. Crime Stoppers help bring this thug in. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hools, Strippers on Loose, Sterling at Night.
Now, what are you going to hear on station after station, morning show after morning show? What are you going to hear tomorrow? You're going to hear the endless discussion about Ron DeSantis pulling out.
Ron DeSanctimonious has dropped out of the race like a dead dog. This is what happens when you attack your favorite president in Florida, knew it, China. He chose education, not indoctrination. As Winston Churchill says, we're not going to give up. One day I will wear my heels to the White House, DeSantis smiled.
DeSantis is both practically and morally a dedicated Floridian scooby-doo.
Ego got the best of him when choosing himself over President Trump, like I chose Texas over Cancun.
Suspension of Governor DeSantis' campaign.
That's what all the experts are going to say tomorrow. They're all going to talk about DeSantis pulling out. And what is our dominant thought about this news? Who cares? We don't care. It's absolutely of no interest to us, because almost anything in my life is more important than Ron DeSantis pulling out of the campaign. How about you? What's more important to you than Ron DeSantis pulling out of the campaign? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. What's more important to you than Ron DeSantis pulling out of the campaign because of his wife? I'll tell you what's more important. I got, shortly before I went on the air, I get a text from a good friend of mine, Peter Thiel, who's now the program director of WHO in Des Moines. Soon to be a Sterling on Sunday affiliate, betcha. 50,000 watts, clear channel. But that's not important. What's important is Peter Thiel had something far more important happening to him. And in fact, it is one of the most important things that you and I experience and we never discuss. After 10 years, Peter Thiel needs a new printer. In our lives, everybody we know says, I love my computer. I got a great computer. I got a good deal on it. I love it. It works great. I have no complaints about my computer. Nobody. And I mean nobody likes their, where is it? No, hold on. Nobody likes their, oh, there it is. No, nobody likes their printer. Nobody likes their printer. And that is the great curse of our time. That for all the technology that has gone into computers, none of that technology has gone into printers.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Everybody hates their printer. And worse, we're all at a point in the evolution of technology where we think when the printer doesn't work right, it's our fault. When it doesn't hook up with our computer, when it doesn't Wi-Fi, Bluetooth with our computer, we think it's our fault. We've done something wrong. We haven't set it correctly. Or if it works on our computer, gee, it doesn't work on my iPhone, it doesn't work on my Android phone, but it works on my desktop. We blame ourselves. I have a newsflash for you. It's not you.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
It is not you. Years ago, until about 1989, Apple made printers. They made a laser printer and an inkjet printer. Apple made printers. Apple was so smart, they said, everybody hates our printers. Everybody hates their printers. We can't solve this tonight. We're not going to do this anymore. I know, let's make a different cell phone. And they decided, instead of making better printers, to waste their time and money making iPhones. Nobody likes their printer. There's no greater hell than getting a new printer and then thinking I got the wrong one because this doesn't sync up any better than the one that I had, and the paper jams and it goes through ink like a drunk. But it's not us. My friends, my misfits, it's not us. It's the printer. The printers are junk. Every printer is a piece of junk. Once, about 5 years ago, I said, you know, I just came into some money. The problem is that I've only bought cheap printers. I've only bought $89 printers. I invested, quote, invested in, I must have spent $900 for a printer. Same thing, maybe worse. Maybe worse. One sync up, one hook up, the colors are screwy. It was one of those that had like 8 different color cartridges so it could have true color. It could have flesh tones. Disaster. Biggest waste of money. Huge waste of money. But I'm here to share with you, number one, that if your printer breaks, that's a bigger deal than Ron DeSantis pulling out of the election. That Peter Thiel shares this with you. He also is suffering from a bad printer. And nothing, nothing is worse than dealing with a printer.
Jessica, we've heard quite enough.
What's a bigger deal in your life today than Ron DeSantis pulling out of the election? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. And we have a very special feature, ladies and gentlemen. You know how some boring stations have weather on the ones, and now weather on the ones, traffic on the tens? No, we don't do that. We have Lesbians in Space on the sevens. And look at that. It's 17 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
I saw the way you looked at me. When? I've seen it 100 times before. You act like you're not, but I can tell. Right? Don't say another word.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
Why is it because of you this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Howard Stern is 70 years old. He turned 70 years old this month. Howard Stern is 70 years old. Howard Stern is the most successful broadcaster who ever lived. He's been doing it for 50 years, at the top of his game for 50 years. He earns more money than any other broadcaster. He earns more money than anybody on television, any actor on television. Any news person on television, that's for sure. And he does it out of his head. He doesn't have a writer's room of 11 writers. He doesn't have craft services. He doesn't have 10 producers. If you look at the Tonight Show or the Stephen Colbert Show, they've got a writer's room of 15 to 20 people, craft services, many producers, segment producers. Each one of those interviews on the Tonight Show or Colbert has its own producer. Each one of those 8-minute segments has its own producer. Howard Stern created that show from his brain, from his creativity. And over time, he was able to get a person or two to help him, a person or two to make it even better. But it's still 100% him. He produces that show. He lays out that show. I have had the privilege of knowing Howard for most of his career in New York. And I'm going to share something about myself to amplify how important this man is. For years before I was a talk show host, I was in a suit, wingtip shoes, white button-down shirt, rep tie, Brooks Brothers, the whole thing. And I was an advisor to companies like Sirius Satellite Radio. I was at Sirius Satellite Radio as an advisor in programming, or now they threaten to call it content, before Howard started. And when it was finally decided that it would be a good idea to try to recruit Howard to come to Satellite Radio, I knew the day. a major broadcasting group dropped him from all of their stations, 8 or 9 big radio stations. They dropped him all in one day from pressures from Congress, pressure from Congress. And he went on the air for 4 hours, livid, just furious, blind with rage over how this could be done to him. And he was right. That was the day I picked up the phone and I called his agent, Don Buchwald. And Don said, "You're the only call I'm taking today." As a representative, as a consultant to Sirius, I went to Don Buchwald's office and started the conversation between Sirius and Don Buchwald. And that was completed by a number of people, but mostly because of Mark Rowan at Apollo, a brilliant CEO who's still the CEO of Apollo Advisors and somebody I have endless respect for. But about Howard, what Howard has done is he changed the culture of American radio, and he changed what you expect from American radio. That's how you change the culture. That's how you change a medium. It isn't by internally saying, well, you know, now it's different. No, no. Do you think it's different? Do you expect difference from radio because of Howard? Do you? And I say that America expects more candor, authenticity, humor, better radio because of Howard Stern. And he's been doing it for 50 years, which is about half the time the medium has existed. And therefore, his relationship with you and me is profound. He's done a tremendous amount off the air. He got radio pricing for commercials to where it should have been for years. He has dared the rest of the performers in the medium to, hey, go for it, do something, go for more candor, go for it. That's what he's done. But I know Howard. I've had a personal relationship for Howard for years. My family, my kids, our cats came from Beth Stern. We adopted them from Beth. And this is what I know about Howard off the air. Howard's the nicest guy you could ever meet. He is walking integrity. He is a man of his word. And then he does something that you might not expect. When he's on the air, it sounds easy. He's doing 3, 4, 5 hours, and it sounds easy. It just flows beautifully, and this one comes in, and this one talks, and this one interrupts. It's all laid out. He prepares every single second of that show. Everybody on that show knows what's coming next because it's planned. And because it's planned, everybody can relax and do their job. He's a great man and a great broadcaster. He's generous to a fault. He has helped dozens of people. He's just a good guy and a great broadcaster, the greatest broadcaster of my lifetime. Happy birthday, Howard. I'm sorry it's 70, but believe me, 70 is easier than it looks. All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up, Kendall Toby, who was a big part of the success of KFBK in Sacramento, will be joining us. She moved to Las Vegas, and I've always found that to be one of the most fascinating moves you or I could make, because everything we imagine Vegas is different if you live there. It's got to be completely different if you live there, right? So Kendall will let us know how right or wrong that is. Things that she thought were true may be very different. I look forward to talking to Kendall Toby coming up in just seconds. Plus, this horror show of the Kelce brothers in front of Taylor Swift, the brother taking off his top in front of Taylor and swizzling beer. Plus, let's talk about Ron DeSantis pulling out of the GOP primary. What in your life is more important than that? The broken printer is more important than that. The check engine light is more important than that. And the headline is always water in the basement. there's nothing more important than water in the basement, certainly more important than some guy pulling out of the election. But I want to know. Here's my number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. I just finished a performance at a comedy club. I'm a mentalist.
He can read everybody's mind but his wife's.
We'll talk about it tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Another self-checkout thief, and it was me. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
What's wrong? I kissed this girl who's been sending me, like, super mixed messages, only to find out she's not gay, which sucks, and I'll probably never find love. But now what's even more messed up is she's, like, acting like nothing even happened, which is worse, right? Because something definitely did happen. So I feel insane. So it sucked. But I don't know. Bouncy house was kind of fun.
Hey, it's her loss. You're hot. Maybe next time you just need to kiss someone that wants to kiss you back.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
All right. Sterling on Sunday. Walter M. Sterling, now the goddess of KFBK, who has wisely moved on, no longer in Sacramento. Now Kendall Toby is in Las Vegas. And I've always thought, moving and living in Las Vegas must be entirely different than visiting Las Vegas. How big a shock was this, Kendall?
Hi, Walter. Hey.
Hey.
Yes, I am reporting live here from Las Vegas, and it is pretty shocking because I lived in California my whole life, so moving out of a state, going somewhere new was definitely very shocking, but I think it's definitely one of the best decisions I've ever made.
What of some of the, name me two things that shocked you about living in Las Vegas versus like visiting? What are two of the biggest shockers of living in Vegas?
Well, one thing, Walter, that I've noticed is that when I used to just visit Las Vegas, it was always about the strip and going out and gambling and sinning, as they say in Sin City. But now that I'm a local resident, I've found that there's so many other things to do in Las Vegas that don't involve gambling. There's a lot of other stuff, like I love to go hiking at Red Rock Canyon. And I also, there's a lot of parks around. And now that I'm a local, I've found that there are so many great and local discounts for us here. And you don't even have to go to the strip. There's lots of great restaurants and there's so much fun things to do. And you don't even have to go to the strip. So that's what I've noticed as the first big thing coming here. And then I would say the second thing that I've noticed is when I didn't live in Las Vegas, I noticed that there was a lot of things going on. But now that I'm actually here and the A's have now, they're going to come here. We just had the big sphere open up. It's the big orb. You've probably seen it. It's got all the ads and the lights on it. And we just had Formula One recently, and now we're getting ready to do the Super Bowl. So it's really fun to be in the heart of all of this action.
Now, Kendall Toby, about that orb, how do the locals feel about the orb? Does that, because that would really make it difficult to sleep.
Yes, I know that people who live by the sphere and all the hotel rooms, they're not that happy about it because it is very bright. But it is fun. I love seeing all the different things that they put on there, and I can't wait. I still haven't gone to a concert there, but I'm going to be going there pretty soon, and I'm going to be taking photos there, so I'm really excited to get inside of Sphere and check it out.
Now that you live there, have the people who work in the casinos told you anything about gambling in Las Vegas that you would have never known if you didn't live there?
About gambling. Well, I have heard some things about the casinos, how they don't put clocks and stuff in there so that you don't know what time it is and that you keep gambling. So that's something that I've heard. I've also heard that they make it so that you win, you lose by just slightly off so that you keep on gambling. So let's say you get 2 sevens, but then the next is a cherry or a bell, but you're going to keep gambling. So it's like the psychology of gambling. That was pretty interesting to learn, because I've definitely been a victim of that myself, where I've kept putting in money because I thought I was going to hit the big one.
Now that you live there, do you gamble at all, or are you like, I can't do that?
Yes, I do gamble. I'm not a huge gambler, but what I like to do is I will gamble every now and then. And what I really enjoy, Walter, is that I like to go for, let's say, dinner or a buffet, and then I'll put in a little bit of money before dinner, and if I hit it big, then dinner's on me for everyone. And that just happened to me recently over at South Point. I put in a couple bucks to an 808 machine, and I won about $850.
Whoa.
So,
whoa.
Yeah, that was really nice. So I treated everyone to dinner, and then I had a little bit of extra cash. But what I know is when to get out of there. So I took my money, and I was out of there.
All right, this is Kendall Toby, who now lives in Las Vegas, moved there from Sacramento, moved there from California. California person in Las Vegas for the first time in her life. You said you were going to go see a concert in the Sphere. What concert are you going to go see?
Well, I put in my request to take photos of U2, so they're there right now. And they're just wrapping up their residency, and then we've got Phish is coming in next, so I put in a photo pass request to take photos of Phish also. So as soon as I'm approved.
Well, you're going to be approved, and we're going to get a report from you about Phish. And you can tell them that you're requesting press for Sterling on Sunday.
I will.
All right, do that.
I'll say, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. You'll be on again next week, I hope, with another report on life in Vegas, life in Sin City. Kendall Toby, a good friend of mine and a good friend of the show, and thank you very much for listening on KXNT in Las Vegas, Giant Odyssey radio station. Very impressive.
Thank you so much, Walter. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you're the best. Thanks a lot, Kendall. That's Kendall Toby, who used to run the control board for Walter Sterling and Sterling on Sunday when I had the privilege of filling in for Pat Walsh on KFBK in Sacramento. She was the control board operator and the producer, and she was tough. Like, it was her show, boy, and you're going to do what she says, and I did my best. I tried not to disappoint Kendall. That was my goal every time that I got to fill in on KFBK, and I haven't done that in a while because the company that owns it figured out I had to get paid, and, of course, that ended that. Good evening. I'm Walter. I'm Sterling. This is a three-hour live radio show. Whoa, 3 hours? Yes, it's a three-hour live radio show. That's right, 3 hours. And I hope you get to hear me for 3 hours. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicap parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
I literally have the best girlfriend ever. Every day when I wake up next to her, I just feel so incredibly lucky and grateful for having her in my life.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here with a peek into our life where we live in an old house with 8 kids.
And and a performing mentalist who just so happens to be my husband.
And I did my first gig at a comedy club, which is a different venue for me. Comedy club was pretty interesting because I was well received by the comics. They liked my shoes.
I think, well, yeah, because you dress like a Canadian comedian with a little bit of extra flair, I think, when you do these shows. Okay, the reason that I wanted to talk about this today is because I think it's great when we're out in public, people think this is like the first time. You're just like trying to do some magic shows. Like, this is something you've never done.
Right.
But it's cool because this was like your first love. You wanted to be a magician and somehow ended up being a radio guy.
Right. When I was a child, I was actually a performing magician before ever thinking I could be on the radio. I actually got paid to do magic shows dressed like Doug Henning. Remember Doug Henning?
I don't know who Doug Henning is, but I'm guessing he wore ruffles and lime green.
Exactly.
Had a little wand in one hand and some pigeons in the other.
Right. He dressed very flamboyantly.
Right.
And in the 70s.
You've toned that down a little bit. It's still pretty flamboyant, though. It's like velvet jackets and kind of crazy shoes, things like that.
I own multiple velvet jackets, all kinds of crazy shiny shoes,
yeah.
Bizarre bow ties. This is the get-up when I perform.
Okay, so but full circle here, we've gone from the ruffles into this, and I think it's cool that you've returned to your first love, and now, much later in your career, this is what you've decided to do kind of for fun on the side.
It is fun. It makes me think I should have stayed with it when I was 14.
Okay, I'm glad that you went into radio, but because there's only so much that I can take of you in the house asking me to pick a card. That's really the thing that gets me is, yeah, everyone asks, right, me if I know how you do it. How do you read their mind? How do you know this? How do you know that? And I really, I'm just going to say this, honey. I'm glad for you. It's great for you. Everything's wonderful. I like helping you out, but yeah, I don't
care
about
help.
Don't care about picking a card. Don't
right.
care. I could care less about standing in the house and doing magic tricks every afternoon.
Well, these days, it's not so much pick a card, honey. It's think of a card.
Okay.
Just think of one in your mind right now. Think of it. Okay. I want the audience right now to picture in their mind, picture a playing card, any playing card, picture it in their mind.
And I want you to picture a Valentine's gift. Just picture it in your mind. Just picture it in your mind.
A
Valentine's gift that you could buy for me. I'm kind of trying to do the reverse thing here and see if it works because you can't read my mind.
Right.
You
but I can read people in the audience's mind.
I
you know what
it.
They're thinking right now? Queen of Hearts. People somewhere driving in their car. Maybe Ace of Spades. Ace of Spades or Queen of Hearts. If we're right, call Sterling now.
And if you think of a good idea for my husband to buy me a gift early so he's not actually waiting until 3 o'clock in the afternoon on February 14th, call in now.
To follow my exploits as a performing mentalist, go to Instagram, Dan Gaffney Show.
And to follow my exploits with putting up with him, you can find me on Instagram at Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky for Sterling on Sunday.
There you are, Taylor Swift, the most powerful woman in the world. Any CEO, any premier, any president will take your call instantly. You made $1 billion in the past 12 months, hit after hit, loyal fans, and now you're dating Travis Kelce's family. Because you know, you may think you're dating a person, but you're not. You're dating a family. Here's the headline. Shocked Taylor Swift reacts to Jason Kelce's shirtless celebration at Travis Chiefs versus Bills game. The football player that Taylor's dating has a brother. He plays football for some other team. He was so excited at his brother getting a touchdown. Woo! Actually able to handle a ball. That he took off his shirt and swizzled beer. And the result was Taylor Swift was visibly shocked by Jason Kelce's shirtless celebration as her boyfriend Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs faced off against Buffalo. The pop star covered her face with her hands as the Philadelphia Eagles center ripped off his T-shirt in the freezing weather and jumped down from their VIP suite. So he was in the VIP suite and he jumped out of it, which, by the way, is against all the stadium rules. Yes, Queen, that's your future brother-in-law, one fan jokingly tweeted. The enthusiastic reaction came after his younger brother scored a touchdown in the second quarter, his first in eight games. The wealthiest, most powerful woman in the world is dating a guy whose brother was shirtless, was also dubbed number one hype man by the Kansas City Chiefs social media account after he was captured roaring into the night with a beer in hand following the big play. This is your greatest fear, that when you bring home the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the fiance for the first time to meet your family, this is what happens. Imagine you're in the dining room. Your brother, out of nowhere, tears off his shirt in front of your girlfriend, boyfriend, and is swizzling a beer, jumping up and down and celebrating a jock move. How long do you guys give it? How long do you give it? How long do you think Taylor's going to stay in this trailer trash family? How long do you think that'll happen? 888-688-WALT. This is why we're live, to be able to capture big news like this. How long do you think Taylor Swift is going to stay in a family where the brother of your boyfriend tears off his shirt and swizzles beer in front of you? 888-688-WALT.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, this is what we care about most, the weather and its impact on us tomorrow on Monday, the first day back to work. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling with Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Another self-checkout thief, and it was me. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I don't care if you're a guy. I don't care if you're a girl. For me, it's always been about who you are on the inside.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Alien life with Dave Scott, our expert on alien life and UFOs. There was a very big news story, Dave Scott, this week about the doomed $108 million Peregrine 1 lunar lander carrying JFK's remains. It was destroyed in a fiery reentry of Earth over the Pacific Ocean. This spaceship, which was supposed to land on the moon, carried the ashes of many famous people, and it was supposed to give them a burial and a proper memorial on the moon. $108 million, and it blew up. What are your thoughts about this, Dave?
Well, they should have contacted Elon Musk to see how he's able to have success, because we know that NASA can't seem to fire a rocket if its life depended on them. Hint, hint on the pun there.
Well, Dave, what do you know about this $108 million lunar lander?
Well, I mean, just like anything else, we keep saying we have the technology to get up there, but for some reason, after 60 years, we're still blowing up the chemicals that seem to be able to reach that area. I don't really understand it. It doesn't make sense. The calculations have been done. They've been done for years, decades, and yet for some reason, we seem to get all these smart, real scientists seem to get it wrong. And just makes everything with space travel look so much more dangerous than it seems to be.
Does this endless failure to get back to the moon suggest to you more and more every day that the moon landing we saw on television was staged, was fake?
No. Walter, I am a believer that we have had people on the moon for a long time with what we call the secret space program. I think there's a real conscious effort by some in some real black op operations that do not want these companies going back to the moon because they don't want us to see what's already there and who we're working with.
Now, we've had on the show many times Stephanie Osborne, who was a space station payload specialist. She's retired now, but she worked for NASA for many years. And I asked her, I said, why haven't we gone back to the moon? And this is a woman who worked at NASA for many, many years. And she said, well, what I learned when I got to NASA was that it was never a scientific mission to go to the moon. There was never a plan to go to the moon again. It was a political event. Our whole purpose in going to the moon was to beat Russia. That, she said, that is the only reason why we went. And once we beat Russia and beat them soundly, we had no plans to go back. The plans were taken home. The rockets were sold. The land was sold. And NASA never had any intention of going back because the mission was accomplished. We beat Russia.
That sounds like a real unite the nation type of comment, doesn't it? Considering we've heard comments from other people that the United States has a secret space program, Walt, that really wants to be in the quiet side of everything. You know, I was talking to one insider one day about the moon, and this insider told me, he goes, Dave, there's two things you cannot ask me. He goes, don't ask me about the secret space program, and don't ask me about the moon, because I'll never give it up due to my NDA clearances.
Well, Dave Scott, even though it's a secret, what are your suspicions about what is going on the moon? What is the secret space program? What is the mission and goal of the secret space program? Why do you think it's going on, and what do you think they're doing?
Well, I think it's two reasons. Number one, to protect North America from anything that Russia and China may do, that they want to keep nice and quiet of what is actually flying in our friendly skies and in our atmosphere. But number two, I think there's something a little bit more nefarious. I believe that there are jump rooms from the United States where you walk in, much like Star Trek, or even Austin Powers, you walk into this little room and it zooms you up to the moon. I know that sounds real tinfoil hat, Walter, but I know you like a good tinfoil hat. I believe that there are scientists and up to thousands of people on the moon right now doing space studies, not only for this planet, but to see what else is out there life-wise.
I believe that if we have a secret program on the moon, that it's for us relative to UFOs and aliens coming to Earth. I don't think it has anything to do with us in China. I don't think it has anything to do with us in Russia, because of one thing that I saw that I'll never forget. When the Soviet Union was finally liberated and became democratized, and our TV cameras went into the premier's office in the Kremlin, there was a shot that I went, oh my gosh, look at that. We have nothing to worry about. On the Soviet premier's desk were five white telephones. Five. And I studied those dials very carefully, and there were no buttons on them. They didn't have multi-line phone technology. They didn't have multi-line phone technology, which is a fairly advanced switch, electronic switch by the phone company. He had five lines, but they had to be individual phones. I'm like, okay, they don't have five-line phones. We have nothing technologically to worry about Russia about. Plus, anytime they've done anything big, anything technologically big, like, oh, say, Chernobyl, how did that work out? And there's a great line in the HBO special on Chernobyl where the guy in charge of it screamed at the bureaucrats and said, why did this happen? Because we did it the way we do everything else, as cheaply as we could, as quickly as we could, and monitored it as poorly as we could. And I'm like, okay, there's Russian technology. I don't think our enemy is Russia with technology. I don't think it's China with technology. I believe if there's a secret space program on the moon, it's to deal with secret space visits from other worlds, other planets, other dimensions. How do you feel about that, Dave Scott?
Oh, I love the way you're thinking. You're going to make me dream well tonight, Walter. You know, this is why we have to have you on Spaced Out Radio, is so we could talk about things like what you are thinking in your mind, because I think you are 100% correct. I do believe that the humans and aliens are working together on the moon, and this leads all to what we're seeing in the disclosure movement that we are seeing so much of out of Washington, D.C. today.
Now, Dave Scott, who does a syndicated radio show in Canada because he didn't want any warm weather involved with this show, did you see this incredible story about the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce's brother? Did you see what Jason Kelce did in front of Taylor Swift? Did you hear about this?
I saw it on TV, my friend.
It's Taylor trash. Now she's part of a Taylor trash family. I say that the minute he pulled off his shirt, started the countdown clock to Taylor dumping Travis.
You think so?
Yeah. What if, because it's a different, it's an alien world to her anyway. The NFL, professional sports, now she's in this alien world. And here's Travis, who's in charge of the situation. She's used to being in charge. And that all can work. He's a great lover. He's a handsome guy. He's got tons of money. He bought a $9 million mansion to house his girlfriend in. But what? Jason tears off his shirt in public, jumps out of a clubhouse, which, oh, by the way, is against the rules of the stadium, jumps out of the clubhouse, drunk out of his mind, in front of Taylor freaking Swift.
It really does show that the aliens are coming soon, doesn't it?
Dave Scott, you're the best. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. All right, you and I are having a great time. This is a live radio show. We're going to discuss more of the horror that poor Taylor Swift had to go through, embarrassing situations you've had with your family, where your family decided to, in effect, tear off their shirts in front of your new boyfriend, your new girlfriend, your fiance, embarrassing moments with your family. I want to hear about them. Because your live phone calls is what makes this an exciting show and not another dreadful best of like most of the shows on the weekend. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
Thursday night, cold. I need something refreshing, so I went to Walmart and I picked up a case of Natty Light. Yep, some wonderful natural light. It's a terrific beer. Got it home, put it in the fridge, took my dog. It's a rat terrier and her name is Lizzie. I took her out for a nice little walk in single-digit weather with the wind swooping in off of Lake Michigan. It was freezing, it was cold, and nothing could keep me away from my wonderful natural light beer. I get in, I open it up. Lizzie the rat terrier climbs into my lap. I'm sipping away, and all of a sudden, Mrs. Gould says, "D'Lo, did you pay for that natural light with cash?" We said, "No. I paid it on the debit card." She says, "It's not showing up on our bank account statement online." Huh. So I reach for my pocket. I always put my receipts in the right pocket. And I reach for, there's no receipt. Yes, it was me. And even though I'm well past the age of 21, when you go to self-checkout, one of the associates at Walmart with that fancy blue vest that looks so great, she came up, asked me my age, and then promptly keyed in, said, "You're ready to go." I said, "Ready to go? Okay." I just walked out. And so here's what I did. I called the Walmart because I wasn't going to drive. I was having a natural light. And once you go down drinking, you don't drive. I call up, talk to the manager, and I said, "Hey, I'm the dope that stole that case of natural light. I didn't pay for it at self-checkout." He couldn't have been nicer. So the next day, I walked in, and I paid for that natural light, that wonderful case of refreshing natty light. The security guy was there. I said, "Where were you yesterday? I, like, stole this from Walmart." He laughed, shook my hand, and he goes, "Yeah, we don't get a lot of honesty at the Walmart self-checkout." For the people of Walmart, this is Vila Hool, Sterling at Night.
Oh, what a pleasure to be with you. But this story, it's just the most incredible story. Taylor Swift is at the Kansas City Chiefs football game, right? And she's there to watch her boyfriend, Travis Kelce. He has a brother named Jason Kelce, plays for a different NFL team. I don't know which one. I don't care. Neither do you. But the first time she's meeting the brother, the first time she's meeting Jason, at some point during the game, he tears off his shirt in 20-degree weather, dives out of the clubhouse onto the stands, and is drinking beer. Can you imagine? You're Taylor Swift. You dated Connor Kennedy. You dated a Kennedy. You used to go out with this Alwyn guy, who was a perfectly nice guy, very handsome, blonde hair, British. He was British. She gave him a townhouse. They broke up. "Here, take the townhouse. Take our London love nest. It's all yours." Now she's Taylor Trash. She is Taylor Trash. She is now embroiled in this NFL team, a real team, real men. She's finally dating a real man. She's finally dating somebody taller than she is. Oh, all the Swifties are so happy she's dating someone taller than she is. Finally, someone who can protect Taylor. You think if you made $1 billion this year, you need any protection? You think if there's any protection you need, you can't buy it? I count down the time of their breakup from the moment that brother tore off his shirt while swizzling beer. Remember, Taylor is from a preppy family outside of Philadelphia. She grew up on a Christmas tree farm, they say. That could just be a pretend origin story. Oh my God, we don't know. I'm so upset. I have gas. But there it is. She fell for an NFL guy, and then she met the brother. It has been 6 or 7 months that she's been dating Travis Kelce. And she didn't meet the brother till today, and now we know why. Because he needs to go to meetings. Those meetings. The ones where they serve a lot of coffee and make up stories. Can you believe it? He tore off his shirt in front of Taylor Swift while drunk, in public. And she looks shocked. My Facebook page is Walter Sterling. Go to my Facebook page. I've posted all the pictures I could find of Taylor Swift reacting to this horror show. I don't care about that. While reacting to this horror show, can you imagine? I don't want to hear that song. I want to hear this song. Yeah, there you go. Months ago, I was confronted by a bunch of idiot program directors. Most of the program directors I have the privilege of working with, like Greg Stockard and Steve Moore, are brilliant, and Bill White, brilliant people. But I ran into a group of them who were analyzing this show and deciding whether or not to put it on their stations. Now, poetically, all of their stations have since been bought by Odyssey, which owns most of the stations that clear this show. They're all out of work. But their head of national programming, their national program director, said, well, now, my program directors have listened to your show, and I know you want honest feedback. No, I don't want honest feedback. I didn't ask for honest feedback. But one of the things they criticized was that we had weather. Well, if you look at Walter Sterling on Facebook, I posted today's Google Trend about weather. And, you know, with Google Trends, you can see what was searched for, and you can throw in a number of search terms and see how they compare with each other. So I threw in Jesus, Ravens, Taylor Swift, and weather. Four terms. Taylor Swift, weather, Jesus, to Ravens, to see which one tested best. Overwhelmingly, weather. Not even a little. Not even everything else flatlined. Flatline, but weather way up. And that's why we always have weather, and I'll have weather for you in 6 minutes for meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser, because this is a live radio show. This is a live, powerful radio show, and I look forward to talking to you. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Neil Rogers.
Yeah, that's right. I qualify. I'm a fag. That gives me a leg up, so to speak.
No, you can't. There's no fags in the church.
There's, oh my God. Wait a minute. I want you to get, do we have a bullet? I wish we had a bulletin sounder. There's no fags in the Catholic Church?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so relieved. I feel so much better now.
888-688-WALT, live radio. I'd love to talk to you. What horrors have your family done to embarrass you in front of a new relationship, a new love? Just like today, we saw Travis Kelce's brother take off his shirt and be drunk in front of Taylor Swift. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a stolen box truck that got painted while two detectives who were supposed to be conducting surveillance fell asleep. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Are you lacking patience? What do you mean? If I touch you, will you explode?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from my days as a detective with the NYPD's Auto Crime Division. So it was the late 90s, and my team, I was assigned to the Manhattan team, we were getting killed with commercial box truck thefts. So if you've ever seen delivery trucks that go to butcher shops or produce places, it's usually a Ford truck. It's a box, and usually there's something written on the side of it, Al's Meat or Bob's Produce. We were getting killed with these things because we were targeting a gang of guys from Washington Heights section of Manhattan, and what they were doing was they were stealing these trucks, whacking up what was ever inside, and then they were shipping the trucks out of the country. I guess in the Dominican Republic, they were getting big money for these things. So anyway, we get a tip. I'll never forget. It was a Thursday afternoon, and our informant calls and tells us that a truck had been stolen out of Lower Manhattan in the meatpacking section, and the truck was now up in Washington Heights, and it was in a parking lot off of 207th Street. So my sergeant and I drove up there, and sure enough, sitting in this 24-hour parking lot was this big white box truck, and across the side, it had written all over Black Hawk Meat. So we said, well, what do you want to do? And he says, well, we'll sit on it for a little while and see what happens. So we're there all day, about 6 o'clock.
our lieutenant says, listen, we really got to put an end to this. I'm going to approve your overtime. You can work an extra 8 hours, sit on this thing all night if you have to. We said, all right. So my sergeant and I took turns throughout the night getting coffee. One guy would take off with the car for 10 minutes to use the bathroom. I'd stay out there, or my sergeant would come back and whacking it up all night. We had been out there about 16 hours. No one had gone near this truck. And, you know, it's probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. The both of us pass out. And the next thing I know, I wake up and my eyes come into focus. I look into the parking lot and the truck is gone. And I go, oh crap, what are we going to do now? So I wake up my sergeant. He panics. He goes, oh my God, I can't believe this. We're going to get killed. You know, the lieutenant authorized all this overtime and now the truck is gone. So I jump out of the car and I walk up to the fence and I start laughing. I come back to the truck. I go, Sarge, don't worry about it. He goes, what are you talking about? We're going to get killed. And I said, look what they did. While we were sleeping, the gang came back. They didn't see us there. They took rollers and white paint and painted over the entire truck, so they were getting it ready to shipping so it wouldn't get targeted by customs. They had just painted the truck in the parking lot while we passed out sleeping. So we called the tow truck, had the truck towed, we dusted it for prints, we got some lifts, and ultimately we were able to make a couple of arrests and put a dent in the gang. So that's just a story from my days in the auto crime division. So for more interesting stories about auto theft, check out my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is a three-hour radio show. My gosh, can you believe it? Can he handle 3 hours? Can he really prep that much? No, not really. Here's an update. Last week, I asked you for advice about my 11-year-old daughter who does not want to go to school and won't. Now, we don't think that's a good idea. We know she belongs in school. And we do everything we can to inspire her to do that. But you gave me a lot of ideas. I think the idea we're going to use is there is a classroom Barbie. And she loves dolls. She's obsessed with dolls. Probably has $3,000 or $4,000. So we're going to get her the classroom Barbie and say, listen, you can have this, but you can only use it if you take her to school. She's got to go to school. And we think that might help. Plus, we realized the light went off in our brilliant heads, which was this. We're not responsible for school. We're not in charge of the school. We're in charge of home. She's very happy at home. Our other children are very happy at home. So we think we're doing a pretty good job at home. I have said to the school very clearly, we will get her to school when you come up with a plan that compels her to go, where she looks forward to it most of the time. No kid looks forward to it every day. But most of the time, we'd like her to look forward to it. I don't want to have a big fight with her every darn day about going to school, and therefore I won't. That's number one. The other thing is my 18-year-old just drove back to school. She had wrist surgery. A year ago, she was in an auto wreck, a terrible wreck, where the driver on the police report said, I was drunk. My daughter was a passenger. Driver says on the police report, I was drunk. Oh, my gosh. Daughter, 2-3 weeks ago, had wrist surgery to put a screw in her wrist because that was the only way that wrist was going to heal. Good news, after 3 weeks of that, 3 weeks of being in a cast, she's in fact able to drive and drove herself back to school. And son of a gun, she's on the dean's list. Our little, sweet, beautiful, flaky daughter is on the dean's list, pulling a 3.7 at a state of New York school. We're very proud of her. It's incredible. And then the 21-year-old is a senior at Newhouse, at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University, and will have a robust career as a producer, guaranteed. Can't wait to see it. But I really want to see you in October. I want to see you in October. You and I are going to go to the French Riviera because it's on our bucket list and we deserve it. And a great company called Colette Travel, a premium travel service, has come up with a small group vacation for Midnight Misfits. That's you. And we're going to go to the French Riviera in October for 9 nights and 9 days we're going to see the perfume factories and the wineries and the casino at Monte Carlo and the topless beaches. Oh, my gosh. It's a spectacular vacation, and it's been on our bucket list all our lives. And what you imagine the French Riviera looks like, it's better. Guaranteed. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday night football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 4 good minutes.
You and I are talking to Autumn Cavanis, the director of Real Talk Big Future for the College Board. Yes, the people who create the SATs, the College Board. But they have established a brand new product called BigFuture.org. BigFuture.org enables a parent, an adult associated with the kid, and the kid to go on a website and start to figure out what is the best thing to do, which college, which major, how to move ahead. Now, this is really important to me, Dr. Cavanis, because my 18-year-old daughter is in college, her first semester, and she has changed her major 3 times.
I, too, much to my father's chagrin, changed my major several times. I thought I was going to be a neurosurgeon. And then I realized that was just not for me. Once I took a summer internship and I was talking to the mouse and I realized, you know, this is just not for me. I'm going to have to go into communication and journalism. What I would recommend is for your daughter and for anyone else who's trying to figure out what's the best fit for me in terms of career, to take our career quiz. Our career quiz, 60 questions, 10 minutes in duration, and our career quiz really provides insight into career ideas that may be in alignment with your daughter, Walter, and with anyone else who's trying to figure out, how do I know what my first step is after high school? How do I know what my career is? And so I actually took this career quiz, Walter, and I find it fascinating, right? Because you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backwards. And I took a career quiz. And what I received was that I would be interested in careers in radio and television broadcasting, careers in education, and careers in dance choreography. All interests that have been common in my life and in my journey. But if I would have taken this quiz when I was a freshman in college or even 10th grader in high school, I would have been able to figure out some things that would be in alignment with what I wanted to do. And then I always say, once you have a sense of what you may want to do, take a summer course in it or take an internship in that field and see if that really is in alignment, right? We're getting closer to what works for you and where you envision and how you envision yourself showing up in your big future.
Dr. Cavanis, with BigFuture.org and Real Talk, how do these services help parents find financial aid?
With Big Future, if you go on over to BigFuture.org, as we mentioned earlier, we connect on things about FAFSA. We have articles, we do events to provide greater illumination. But we really are connecting families to have that conversation about scholarships, for example. So we have an incredible scholarship directory. Our scholarship directory has over $1.5 billion worth of scholarships. And students can apply and can search and figure out which scholarship is best in alignment with their needs and their career goals. We also have, when it comes to thinking through how to pay for college, our Big Future Scholarships. At our Big Future Scholarships, we have given literally over $18 million to 21,000 students across the country.
This is Dr. Autumn Cavanis, director of Real Talk, BigFuture.org for the College Board. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. A pre-recorded promotion with the College Board. It's an honor to work with the College Board for Sterling on Sunday, and hopefully that will solve some of the many confusing moments that my college kids have. All right, this is very exciting. I can't believe that you and I have the date. Today, January 21st, is the date the countdown starts that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce will be breaking up. Because Travis Kelce, for 7 months, has stalled introducing Taylor to his brother, Jason. Because it seems Jason has some problems at a Kansas City Chiefs game, KMBZ, FM, Kansas City, KMBZ, at a Kansas City Chiefs game today. Travis's brother took off his shirt to express excitement over the progress of the game, and he was drunk. Now, here he was drunk, took off his shirt in front of Taylor Swift. Now, imagine, you're dating Taylor Swift, and your brother comes out of nowhere in the crowd, takes off his shirt, and is drunk. I say a clock started in Taylor's genius mind. And she's like, oh, this is Taylor trash. Now I'm entering Taylor trash. If you go to Walter Sterling, that's my username on Facebook. Go to Walter Sterling. I have posted all the pictures I could find of Taylor Swift reacting to the Taylor trash in front of her. All of a sudden, she meets the brother of the football player. He's also a football player. And he took off his shirt in front of the crowd, dove out of the clubhouse, dove out of the box, the club box, the VIP box, into the stands to be with his people. Can you imagine how embarrassed Travis is going to be when he sees this footage and he sees what his brother did in front of his girlfriend, his sacred girlfriend, the most powerful woman in the world? Taylor Swift's the most powerful woman in the world. Why? Any man, any woman would take her phone call immediately. President, head of parliament, chairman of the board, they would all take her phone call immediately. Any man would sleep with her. She has all the money she could ever imagine needing. She grossed $1 billion this year already. She loves what she does. She loves her work. Her work is a positive force on earth. She has billions of fans. And now this clown takes off his shirt in front of her. Unbelievable. Next week, we're going to have Colette Travel with us. Mitchell, big shot at Colette Travel, will be here to answer all of the questions that you have, and I have many of them coming in about the trip to the French Riviera. And I want you to come with us to the French Riviera next October. But you got to sign up. I will send you personally one of the brochures. It's a beautiful brochure made just for Midnight Misfits. In it, you will see a picture of me with my wife. Seconds after I asked her to marry me, you'll see a picture of us on the beach at Monaco. It's in the brochure. You got to send me your real mailing address for me to mail it to you. I'll fill out the envelope myself. Send me the email to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. But give me your real mailing address, and then I will mail you the real brochure. This has been exciting. Have we learned anything tonight? No, we haven't learned a darn thing except that the trailer trash persists. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.